You're about to hear an inspiring message from the team at C3 Church Bathurst. It's our prayer that it will spur you to live your best life in Him.
Anyway, Mother's Day. Hey, has anyone ever met a mum who seemed completely blind at one point? But then amazing insight and vision just, you know, like 5 seconds later. And, you know, it might have been your own mother. It might have been a friend's mother that you observed. But it's something I've kind of noticed in a few mums. And I was kind of thinking it could have been from the other end of the house. In her sleep, she could hear you opening the cupboard to nick the treat out. And you thought she wouldn't notice. Did you, Brad? You didn't know. She did. You know, she sees things, she knows things that you really wish she wouldn't. She sees some of those weaknesses you just wish you could hide. But then, you know, 5 seconds later, it could be that she's sitting through, you know, another hour of screeching clarinet practice and she's listening to it as if, you know, it's Benny Goodman himself playing. And it's like her mind has recomposed that music into something really beautiful. Mums are something unique. Anyway, enough of that. But today I did want to look at something that was, as our title says, recomposed. So this morning we'll start at 2 Chronicles, if you'd like to turn your Bibles there. I'll put the verses up on the screen, but you'll be able to flick through as I go as well. So a little bit of background here. We've been through Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and, you know, Kings and Chronicles are kind of pretty much the same thing, doubled up. But the Israelites had settled and established in the land. King David had, you know, just kind of got everything under control. And now his son Solomon was king. And so he set about building the temple of God, that it was prophesied that he would be the one to build the temple in Jerusalem, the new city. Now he was following some incredibly detailed plans that had been downloaded from the cloud. God. Yeah, I know, they got the joke. Takes some people a while, doesn't it, James? But, you know, they were really detailed instructions and it was going to be the most spectacular building ever, you know, ever built, ever created in history. It was going to be completely worthy of a place to worship God. It was immense in size. It was crafted from the finest materials. It was adorned by the purest golds and silvers and precious stones. There was timbers and other resources, you know, sourced from far and wide just to make sure that everything that went into, every material that went into this temple was the best. If you turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verses 5 to 7, we just get a tiny glimpse of the effort that went into this. It says, he panelled the main room of the temple with cypress wood, overlaid it with fine gold and decorated it with carvings of palm trees and chains. He decorated the walls of the temple with beautiful jewels and with gold from the land of Pavaim. He overlaid the beams, thresholds, walls, doors throughout the temple with gold, and he carved figures of cherubim on the walls. It's just a tiny glimmer of, you know, what this temple was. When they completed the temple and they brought the Ark of the Covenant of God back into that space, you know, it'd been in the tent with Moses and now it had a home. It had a permanent home where it could exist and reside. And so they brought this in and there was an incredible celebration. We see this in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. It said, the trumpeters and singers performed together in unison to praise and give thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals and other instruments, they raised their voices and praised the Lord with these words, he is good, His faithful love endures forever. Then later, again at the dedication of the temple, in Chronicles 2 Chronicles 7, verses 1-3, it says, when Solomon finished praying, fire flashed in. Oh, golly, I missed that. Cool. Delete. Go back. At the moment that they said that, that moment, a thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord. The priests could not continue their service because of the cloud, for the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. Okay, now back to the dedication of the temple in 2 Chronicles 7. When Solomon finished praying, fire flashed down from heaven and burned up the burnt offerings and sacrifices. The glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple because the Lord, the glorious presence of the Lord filled it. When all the people of Israel saw the fire coming down and the glorious presence of the Lord filling the temple, they fell face down on the ground and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, He is good. His faithful love endures forever. Wow. Can you get that in your head in any form? How amazing. Like, not only is there this temple, which is the most spectacular structure ever built, adorned in the most amazing way, and then to cap that all off, you have the very glorious presence of the Lord entering into this temple, coming down from heaven itself and coming into the temple to dwell with his people. That completely blows my mind away. Completely. I can understand why he would want to be in such a beautiful place. I mean, it was worthy of his honor and everything. I can get that part. But see, the temple was also something else. The temple was also a place of sacrifice. It was a place of blood. It was messy. Like, in reality, it was messy. And it was ugly. And there was this constant reminder going on, day after day, month after month, week, you know, year after year, a constant reminder of the people's sin, that thing that was where they would ignore God, those times when they would turn their back on him and do things their own way. And a reminder that they couldn't sort that out themselves. They were not able to. And so this was existing side by side, this incredible beauty and grandeur with death and blood and mess. How could it be that would be a place that God would want to be? How could he want to dwell in that place? So could it be that mess and beauty that somehow together that was acceptable for God's presence to be? Well, Solomon's temple itself, the one that he built, didn't last. There was years and years of turning their backs on God and the Israelites, you know, being warned again and again and again. And finally God allowed the king of Babylon to sweep through, to take them away, to strip and plunder the temple, everything ripped out of it, taken across to Babylon. The temple itself burnt, destroyed, stones fallen down. No temple would ever come close to the splendor that Solomon created. But the story doesn't stop there. The story of Israel and God's people, it doesn't stop in that space. And Israel had an opportunity to rebuild the temple where God would dwell, to come back home to Jerusalem and to rebuild it. But as I said, it was never as good. In the book of Haggai, chapter 2, this is 70 years after all the destruction had taken place. Israelites had come back. And so there would be some people there that could remember what it looked like. But as they began rebuilding, Haggai says, does anyone remember this house, this temple, in its former splendor? How in comparison does it look to you now? It must seem like nothing at all. But I find this confusing. I find it confusing because there are many, many books and many, many prophets in the Bible that talk about a new temple that was going to be built. That when they were in exile in Babylon, they were encouraged and they're going, you'll go back, you'll rebuild, these things will happen. Ezekiel said it, he talked about, you know, this temple that would have a river flowing out from, you know, the river of God would flow out from the center of the temple. In Amos chapter 9, verse 11, he said that the glory would be restored in the temple. It says in verse 11, in that day, I will restore the fallen house of David. I will repair its damaged walls. From the ruins, I will rebuild it and restore its former glory. And Haggai also said of its future glory, like, you know, what's going to happen? In Haggai 2, verse 9, he says, the future glory of this temple will be greater than its past, says the Lord of heaven's armies. And in this place, I will bring peace. I, the Lord of heaven's armies, have spoken. These are the words that God spoke through those prophets. And the list goes on, this, you know, one after the other, how amazing and how glorious his new temple would be. But this is just not what happened. It's not what happened at the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. That second temple was built, came, and it was destroyed again. The prophecies, as the Israelites imagined, they just did not come true. There's no way of looking at it otherwise. It didn't happen in that way. Yet we know that when God speaks, that what he says, it happens. So how can this all work out? How can this make sense? Is there something else in there? Is there something more in this whole thing that can amaze us and that can cause us to cry out, just like they did at the dedication of the temple? He is good. His faithful love endures forever. Was it possible that the temple could be recomposed? So where I got this word from, I'll give you a little background. As I was writing this message, I turned on a piece of music that I just heard a little bit in the radio, and I was like, oh, I want to hear all of that. And it's called Max Richter, he's the composer. It's called Recomposed Vivaldi, Four Seasons. Now, I don't know if you've heard the original music of Vivaldi, but it's one of my favourites, and I find it just beautiful and amazing and magical. And I didn't know that it was possible to make something more beautiful. I didn't even know if it was possible to recompose something. I'd never heard the word in relationship to a piece of music. I heard things rearranged or arranged by someone, but recomposed. It had this element of mystery to it. But this is what God has done to his temple. He's recomposed it. He's taken what his temple was and he's kind of jiggled it all around. It's the same thing. The elements are there. Every part of it is his temple. But he's just kind of twisted it and made it more magical and more beautiful and more amazing. He's recomposed the place where his revealed presence would dwell. And instead of being confined to one place, one city, one building, behind one curtain, his temple has become us. We are the temple of the living God, it says in Corinthians. We are the new temple, the temple that so many talked about. We're the place where His Holy Spirit, that whole revealed presence of God, has chosen to dwell. And so something that we look at and we look around and we see each other as ordinary. We look at ourselves and we go, I'm really ordinary. We look at ourselves and we go, but I'm imperfect. God's recomposed it. And if you remember back to that mother's love, that it was kind of blind to imperfections, kind of just pretended they weren't there. You know, the mother would just recompose the music in her head to be happy listening to it. God's love's not, He's not blind to us. He doesn't kind of switch it around and just go, oh, no, it's not really there. God's love forgives us. God's love transforms us and completely changes those imperfections and recomposes us. You know, in the old temple, the blood that we talked about, that mess, that it gives us the impression that this beauty of the temple was stained because of the way that people would turn their backs on God, because of the need for sacrifice, it would stain the beauty of the temple. But in the new temple, our bodies, the blood of Jesus, His sacrifice, it actually removes the stain of our temple. It removes the things in us that makes us seem imperfect, that makes us feel ugly at times. It actually removes all of that. It washes it clean and makes us beautiful again. And the whole beauty of what God has revealed, of recomposed, is now revealed in us. This music that's just playing, it stirs inside of me. It excites me. And when I was listening to it, preparing this message, I got completely overwhelmed. Just feeling things that I didn't think I could feel. And God can make us feel those things again in us. You see, when we dedicate our lives to Jesus, His Holy Spirit comes and fills us. This is what happened at the first Pentecost, at Pentecost in Acts 2, verses 2 to 4. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. This is just like what happened when they dedicated the temple. The Spirit of God came down into that temple. His fire burnt up those sacrifices, and the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. The Holy Spirit now has chosen to come down in us. You know, at that first Pentecost, He came down the little, you know, fire above their heads, reminding them that this is the Holy Spirit, that the sacrifice has been paid, it has been made. And right now that the Holy Spirit is going to come and dwell, and we are that new temple of Him. It may not always be spectacular like that. We might get fire next week. That'd be fun. How cool. But I can imagine that each time one person's life is dedicated to Jesus, that all of heaven's hosts are singing together He is so good. His faithful love endures forever. Because it's here that the Holy Spirit chooses to dwell, in you, in me. The splendor of Solomon's temple is absolutely nothing compared. We don't need to grieve that, because it's nothing compared to one life recomposed to sing the glories of God. All of those prophecies in the Old Testament, they're fulfilled. They're fulfilled in us. Like, you look around in us. And, you know, I know that there's other things in the Bible, and it talks about the end of the age, and things will change back again when Jesus returns. But today, right now, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And right now, we can celebrate. We can celebrate that like they did. We can remember what Jesus has done for us on the cross. We can look and we can see the beauty, the incredible beauty that God sees in us. And we can honor Him with our bodies in everything that we do. That, you know, in the way we think, the way we feel, the things we say, whatever we do, that this temple becomes an honoring place for God. A suitable place for Him to dwell. We are the temple of God. We have been recomposed personally, and He has recomposed what the temple is. It's His Holy Spirit to live inside of us. And today, you might be sitting here, you might be looking around and looking at yourself and thinking, you know, there's no way that I could be a place where the Spirit would choose to live. You may be thinking, you know, that I might have asked Jesus into my world, but I'm not a great representation of a temple for Him. You know what? It's time you change your thinking. If you know Jesus, you are that temple. If you have invited Jesus into your world, then the Holy Spirit is living in you right now. You might have tried to close the curtain across and squash it a bit, but He's there. And it's time to celebrate, each of us individually. Celebrate, you know, celebrate what God has done. Celebrate that the temple is restored. Remember what Jesus has done for you on the cross. Never forget that. I know the sacrifice has been paid, but hey, remember it like we did at communion. See the beauty that God sees in you. He's transformed you. That blood that Jesus spilt on the cross, that doesn't stain things, that washes things. And it washes us when we receive it. So that the things that we've done in our past, the ways we might have ignored God or just, you know, messed up in different ways, but more really just the way we've kind of just left Him out of our headspace, all of that gets washed away and cleaned and changed. To see what God sees in you, He sees you as beautiful or handsome. And honor Him. Your body is His temple, the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Honor Him with that. Honor Him with your body. In everything you think, everything you say, everything you do. He'll help you in that. It's not easy. He'll give you a little prod and put those thoughts in your mind. Go, oh, you want to do that differently maybe? But listen and honor Him. Let Him change the way you do things. so that what he sees in you, you start seeing. And you can not only just be a worthy place for his temple to dwell, you can actually feel that worthiness within you. But you know, it may be this morning that you're not a temple yet, that you haven't actually said sorry to God for leaving him out of your world, for ignoring him. But that can change. Right now, today, your whole world can turn around. Right now, today, we don't have to worry about the preparations of sourcing materials. Right now, today, God's Holy Spirit can come into you and transform you and recompose you. Right now, today, you can just simply say sorry to God and he can forgive you. And Jesus' blood that was spilt on the cross can wash over you and change you to be his temple. And his Holy Spirit can come down into you.
Thanks for listening. We would love to connect with you. Our services are on Sundays at 217 Howick Street at 10 a.m. for a 10:30 service. Or visit us on the web at c3churchbathurst.org.
Come like a river, come like a flood. Let us be overwhelmed, baptized in you.